All right, we shall start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Very happy that you are all here with us today. If anyone's looking for chairs, there's lots of seats up front. Lots of seats up front. There's lots of seats up front for you guys if you guys want, right here. Lots of comfy ones. This is the first class seats. Back there is like the economy. Yeah, there's more space between seats, more leg room and stuff like that. So try to come and grab a seat up here. Very good. Okay, very cool. I'm very happy that you're here with us today. And I'm very happy to see lots of new faces with us and so many people here as we officially kick off the 40 days at Community. If you were here last week, you know, we said last week we started, but last week was just like an introduction. But today is the official beginning of the 40 days at Community. You can see the more amount of people that are up here working and doing all this kind of stuff means that more stuff is going on. So this is a good thing, whatever's going on up here. So, as we said last week, we are today kicking off the 40 days of community. As we said last week, I don't know if you guys can see that up there, but the whole concept of this 40 days of community is why we are better together. We talked about last week that there is really five reasons that we are better together and five reasons that God made us on this earth, and what we can do alone is not nearly what we can do together. So we talked about why it is that we are called to live together in community. We said specifically that we are better when we reach out together, belonging together, growing together, serving and worshiping. And we're going to talk about each of these in consecutive weeks. But for today, we're going to start with just the first one, okay? Which is why we are better together. Now, what I'm going to teach you guys today, all right? Let me start off by telling you right now, is the exact opposite of everything that you'll hear outside of here. It's the exact opposite of everything that you would hear at your universities, that you would hear, that you would read in those self-help books, that you would see on Oprah or on Jerry Springer, any of that kind of nonsense. I'm going to tell you the exact opposite of probably a lot of stuff that you've been taught ever since the day you were born. And that is that as much as independence, as good as independence is, that you will never be reaching your fullest potential in an independent life. What do I mean by that? What we're talking about here is how God made us to live in community, live on an island, live in isolation. And oftentimes we think, okay, especially as Americans, this country is founded on the Declaration of Independence. And we're always taught, do things my way. And if it's not my way, it's the highway. And I gotta be me, and no one tells me what to do. And I have the right to bear arms, and the right to free speech, and the right to do whatever I want, and no one tells me what to do. I do whatever I want. And that's the kind of thing that we grow up on. That we have the freedom to do whatever it is we want. Some of the parents in the room are smiling. If you have like a junior high kid right now, you're probably hearing this all the time. Some of the college students are smiling. Maybe this is you doing this all the time. But this is not uncommon, especially in our day and time in our culture. There's lots of seats up front, guys. If you guys want, lots of seats up here. We'll just kind of wait for everyone to file in.
Sorry.
No problem. Lots of seats up front. Come on up. Come on up. Lots of seats right up front here. That's what you get for coming late. And the cameraman's right there on you. It's on the internet and everything. And people get to see who's coming in late.
It's on the internet?
It's on the internet.
Wow.
Plenty of seats. Plenty of seats right here. Hey, just move the stuff. Yeah, just move the stuff. Don't worry. So as I was saying, is that our culture teaches us that the more independent you are, that's the only way to find freedom. That's the only way to find happiness. And you'll never be really happy unless you are independent financially, unless you are independent relationally, unless you are independent in all these different ways that you can stand on your own two feet and do everything by yourself. But as much as our culture teaches independence, as much as we see people being more independent, as much as we see the suicide rate going which direction, as much as we see depression much more common than it used to be, as much as we see people anxiety and stress and worry and all that kind of stuff, Why? Because God didn't create us to be independent. Okay? And God never, if you look from start to finish of the Bible, never says that we human beings were created to be independent. God said, in fact, the opposite. We are created to be interdependent. Okay? And that's what we want to talk about, and that's what this 40 days is all about. And that's what we're hoping we can kick off today with these 40 days. How to live a life of not independence, but how to live a life of interdependence. Okay? Because that's the way God called us to be. And what God promises us is that as long as you are living a life of independence, as long as you are doing everything by yourself, you will struggle with loneliness, you will struggle with frustration, you will struggle with fear, with failure, with all these kinds of miserable things that cannot be solved in an independent lifestyle. So what's the cure for all those things? Well, it's community. And that's what God established for us, to live in community with one another. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 5 on your handout. It says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." If we are members of one another, and we are one body, then we need each other, right? Okay? Nod your heads. We need each other. Okay? We're going to make a little exercise. Everyone turn to the person right next to you and say, "You need me." Now here's the better part. Turn back to them again and say, "I need you." But not the boys to the girls and the girls to the boys. None of that stuff, okay? Not boys to boys and girls to girls. None of the funny stuff, okay? I see some guys very smiling. They like that exercise. Let's do that every week with Anthony. Next week they're going to sit and make sure they sit next to him. No. We do need each other, okay? Seriously, you need the person next to you, and the person next to you needs you, and I need you, and you need me, and we need each other because we are one body. And that's what we got to get out of our mind, this solo mission thing, this independent lifestyle, because that's not how God designed us. The 40 days of purpose, we saw what is my purpose in life. And like we said last week, all those purposes, all the five purposes that God put us here for, every single one of them was not meant to be fulfilled by yourself, but meant to be fulfilled in community. So for the next 40 days, like I said before, we're going to talk about it on Sundays. You're going to do in your daily readings. Your small group meeting is going to be focused on is relationships. How to make bad relationships good. How to fix those which may have gone sour. How to find real love. And I'm not talking about love in the Hollywood sense, but real Christian love. How to be loved and how to love. And all that kind of stuff. That's going to be our topic. Now, today, what we want to get into is the question that's on your handout. Why it is that we need each other? Okay? Why is it that, like I made you just say, that you need the person next to you? And why is it you need me and I need you? Well, five reasons that we need each other. The first one is I need others to walk with me. Write that down. I need others to walk with me. When I say walk... Okay, we're talking now about your spiritual walk, your growth, your spiritual growth in life. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. St. Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." So walk in Him. If you follow the Bible and how it talks about our Christian life, you'll notice the term walk is used often, all right, to refer to our spiritual journey. And the Bible always talks about walk in wisdom, or walk in the light, or walk with love, or walk circumspectly. And always uses this term walk to tell us that Christianity is not a sitting thing. Okay? Christianity is a walking thing. Christianity is not something that you are taught and you learn and that's the end of the story. Christianity is something that you do. It's a life to be lived. Okay? It's something that involves a journey, that you should always be journeying, you should always be walking, always be growing. Growing in what? Well, that's in all the virtues. Growing in Christ, as the Bible tells us. But the important thing is, just like your physical walk, if I'm going to tell you to walk a narrow path, if I'm going to tell you to walk in the middle of a lot of darkness, would you like to walk by yourself or walk with someone? Same way you don't want to walk by yourself at night. Well, then, and the same thing in the spiritual walk. We shouldn't walk that walk alone because it's much more dangerous. So we need others to walk with us. Now, what I am not talking about is marriage. Okay? Because that's what some people may be thinking right now. I need to get married so someone walks with me. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about community. And I'll tell you this, that there are many single people who are living actively in community, And there are many married people who are living in significant loneliness. So marriage is not the end-all solution for this, okay? Marriage plays a role in it, but that's not what I'm talking about. The answer is not marriage, the answer is community, alright? Now some people would say, what's wrong with walking alone? I don't mind walking alone. I like walking alone, okay? Anyone who's ever walked with me, and actually someone, it's not here now, but Mina was upstairs with me earlier, Mark's brother, was walking with me, and Mina didn't like walking with me. Because at first, every time we took one step, we would stop and someone would talk. And every time we took another step, someone would stop and talk. So he started to walk ahead of me. Then I finally got free, and then I flew past him at 100 miles an hour. So Mina didn't like walking with me. So he walked on his own, we met each other at the proper destination where we were designed to be. Walking with someone else can be burdensome. He walks slow, I walk fast. He stops, I go. You know, this person likes to stroll casually, I like to walk very fast. So why in life do I want to walk with anyone? I want to go at my own pace. I want to do what I want, when I want, where I want. And that's what a lot of people would say. Well, that's exactly the problem. Okay? If you're walking alone, you're missing out on learning many wonderful things that you should be learning. You're not learning cooperation. You're not learning sharing. You're not learning how to play nicely with other people. And these are all important things that God wants us to learn. And you cannot learn that if you are walking alone. So God says, I want you, when you walk, to walk with someone, and someone to walk with you. Why? Well, the answer is because it's a support. Okay? God wants us to walk with other people to support each other. Okay? You support them and they support you, kind of a thing. It's exactly like working out. Every single one of us has done the exact same thing every January 1st. This year, working out 5 times a week. This year, I'm going to hit the gym. This year, I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to do this and do that. All you smiling because by January 4th or 5th, we've probably given up on it. All right? But we all make the same thing. But let me ask you a question. Okay? You find someone who has been working out for a while. The people who are most successful at continuing to work out are those who have partners. Those who go to the gym with someone. Because they have someone to encourage them and support them. It's the same thing in life. Okay? Those who endure for the long run are those who have the people to support them. There's an old Chinese proverb which says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. Okay? Same thing in life. Yeah, you can walk faster by yourself. You can go much, much faster. But you can't go as far unless you're with someone. And that's the way our life is on earth. That's where our spiritual life is. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a long race. And if you're going to make it to the end, you're going to need someone to support you. Okay? Anyone who knows anything about birds, when you see the birds flying, the ducks, and they fly in the V? Okay? Why do ducks fly in a V formation like that? Why don't ducks just fly by themselves? Because it gets them further, okay? It supports each other. The whole thing about drafting and aerodynamics, I don't understand that stuff, but maybe someone does. But that's why they fly in that formation. Okay? They don't fly solo because they can get much further when they fly that way. We too. You can spend your whole life trying to go by yourself, but you're fighting against the current, and you're doing it by yourself, and you're going to face much more pressure, and I guarantee you, you're going to tire out much quicker. You're going to quit much before someone who's got the good support. Okay? Not only support, but also is also for correction. All right? If you're walking by yourself, you could be walking in a completely wrong direction, and you wouldn't even notice it. Think about it. If it's dark outside, you don't know where you're going. You're all by yourself. You could be going north, and you should be going south. But when you walk with people, as the Bible said, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. When you're walking with others, they can help direct your path, tell you, no, not this way, this way. So that's why God wants us to walk with others. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God says, it is not good that man should be alone. Can't get any more clear than that. This is the first thing God said after he created man. Everything is good. Everything is great. Everything on earth was absolutely perfect. There was no diseases. There was no rain. There was no tornadoes. No hurricanes. Everything was beautiful. The sun was always shining. The grass was always green. There was no sickness, no nothing. But God said, something ain't right. It is not good for man to be alone. What that teaches me is that God hates loneliness, okay? And that's why God didn't allow it. That's why God created two things for you. He created a family for you on earth, and then a family for you in heaven. He created your family on earth as your physical family, then he created your spiritual family. Now here's the good thing. Your physical family will come and go, okay? People die, people move, people get sick, whatever, physical family will end, but your spiritual family will goes on forever. So that's the one that we want to focus on, is that support in our spiritual family, and that's what the church is, the body of Christ. So you need a spiritual family. You need a church. You need to be involved in the body of Christ and be an active member in it. Okay? Because that's God's answer for loneliness. Well, how? Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. How do we get support from the church and the body of Christ? St. Paul says, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another." How? Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How do we get the support? Well, the first thing is, we have to assemble ourselves together. We have to gather together and spend time with one another. Okay? Meaning, and what also says there is exhorting one another. Exhorting is like supporting one another, encouraging one another. So we, as members of the body of Christ, are supposed to be there for one another to lift each other up. But you can't do that unless you're assembling together. Alright? That's the community and the fellowship that he's talking about right here. Question. Assembling together and exhorting one another is happening right now?
No.
This is fellowship?
No.
This is not fellowship. Okay, we said this last week. You can't fellowship with 100 people in the room with you. This ain't fellowship. No one's talking but me. Okay? So there's no one who could be... I mean, as wonderful as I am and as much as I can give you encouragement at the same time, I can't give anyone support in a 1-to-100 relationship situation here. Okay? And it's not a free-flowing thing. This is not fellowship. This is not the community that he's talking about here. That's why we talk about small groups, and we've said it a billion times. If you still haven't heard the word small group, and you still haven't signed up, where you been, man? Because it's all we've been talking about for the past several weeks. That's why you need a small group, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, 8 people, whatever, that you don't need the number, but you need the depth, okay? And that's what the small group is all about. Let me prove to you that you can be in the midst of a crowd and be very lonely. This is what I call a crowd. This is not community. This is crowd. Imagine a little boy who's in the middle of a mall. Okay? I'm thinking back. Somehow I don't remember much of my childhood, but I remember one day when I got lost in the mall. And there was 10 billion people around me as far as I was concerned. It was probably like 8, 9, 10, something around there. And there's a million people around me, and I couldn't find my mom. I felt very lonely at that time, so I just stood there and I cried. Okay, and I cried until my mommy came and found me, or the policeman, or whatever. I don't remember what happened. But I was around lots of people. So being around lots of people is not the solution to loneliness. I'd have traded them all just for one person to come give me a hug at that time. And I think you understand what that means. Okay? So being in a crowd doesn't solve your need for fellowship and community. Alright? Like I said before, you could come to church. You could attend this meeting every single week for the rest of your life and never find real community, real fellowship. So, what that tells me is, God's answer, community is God's answer to loneliness. Write that down. Community is God's answer to loneliness. God doesn't want me to be lonely. So that's why God created community. And that's like what I said, that's the goal for these 40 days. Is to find real community, to understand what real community is. It ain't going to happen here. If you don't sign up for a small group, you're going to miss the boat on this 100%. Okay? Because community is not something that can be taught. It has to be experienced. It has to be lived. Alright? And it really can't happen in this kind of setting. It can only happen in a small group. Okay? So, that's the first thing. I need others to walk with me. I need to be in a small group so that I can walk with others and others can walk with me. I can support you. You can support me. And that's why we're aiming at 100% of the church to be in small groups. Now, when we made this goal before this campaign started, 100% of the people to be in small groups, we said, no way, not everyone's going to sign up. And I'll be honest with you, not everyone has signed up, but a lot more than I expected. Do you know that as of today, we have launched over 50 small groups in this church? Can you imagine that? That's just college enough. That doesn't even count the elementary and the junior high and the high school. We could probably get another 20, 30 in there. That, to me, is an amazing number. And I really thank God for that. But we want to get 51 today. We want to get 52. So we want every single person to be part of it, every single person to participate. If you don't know what I'm talking about with a small group, this is not a lifelong commitment. How long is a small group commitment? It's 6 weeks. Okay? So I'm not asking you to sign for the rest of your life, but just for 6 weeks. Okay? Trust me, you will benefit. Okay? So make sure if you haven't signed up for a small group, you can do so today after we finish. I need other people to walk with me. Number two, I need others to work with me. Okay, now we all know that the Bible says that God put us here for a reason. And God put us here to get certain things done. And He put you on earth to get things done, and He put me on earth to get different things done. Each one of us has a role, each one of us has a job to do. Alright, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Before you were born, God gave you talents. He gave you abilities. He gave you gifts that He didn't give to me or didn't give to anyone else. Just like He gave each one of you a different fingerprint. He gave each one of you different talents, abilities, all that kind of stuff. Gave you a mommy and a daddy and a home and a country and a work and all that kind of stuff. He took care of all those details because He got a job for you. He's got a purpose for you that no one else can do. Okay? Now here's the thing. He doesn't want you to do it alone. He didn't create you and give you all those things that you could do your work alone. What the Bible says right there, it says, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And our good works is what we're talking about, the mission that God gave to us to do. But God, like I said, didn't want you to do it all by yourself because God knows that you can't do it by yourself. And the reason that many people get tired or worn out or burnt out is because of either one of two reasons. Either number one, they're trying to do it all, or number two, they're trying to do whatever it is by themselves. And it's never going to work that way. Okay? God never meant for us to be lone rangers or solo artists. He meant for us to be part of a body. Alright? And that's what the body of Christ is here for. Look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor." Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's true. You always get more done if you work in teams. Okay? It's always a more efficient way. It's always a more effective way. And in the long run, it's an easier way to get things done by working together as opposed to trying to do everything by yourself. You know, sometimes people don't understand this. They look at this church. If you're an outsider and you come to this church and you see, wow, you know, they have retreats and Bible studies and meetings and all these activities and youth meetings, and they have like 1,500, all this kind of stuff. Wow, Abuna Anthony, they must be like Superman doing all this million stuff. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, our church has a lot of stuff going on, but if it was waiting for me and Abuna Shorty to do everything, it wouldn't even be a quarter of the stuff going on. Because all the stuff happens not because I'm doing it or because he's doing it, because everyone has a part to do. And that's why all this stuff is going on. I can't even forget about doing all that, but let's just say, even when I was preparing this, let me imagine that I had all that burden on myself to take care of all the stuff that's going on. I get depressed just thinking about it. If I had to do this on Monday and this on Tuesday and this, I mean, I'd go crazy. I couldn't even think about it, much less do it. So there's no way that anything like that could happen with one person. We got to get rid of that mentality from our mind of this one-man show idea. Okay, that's always what we think about. We find one man and he does everything until he dies, and we find someone else and he does everything. Okay, that doesn't work that way. The reason, you want to know why this church gets so much done? Because we have the best congregation in the whole wide world. And we have a congregation who says, "Abuna Anthony, Abuna Shoy, whatever you need help with, just let me know." And this past week was a perfect example. This past week, like I said, the devil's been fighting, and he's been fighting the technology of our church. He took down my laptop. Hard drive crashed out of nowhere. If you know me, everything's on there. Okay? Someone calls me and says, "Can you come visit?" I don't know. I don't have my laptop. I don't know. I don't know when to get up in the morning if I have my laptop. I don't know. So I can't do anything. Okay? Why is this church so great? Why is the church able to run on? Because someone out of the kindness of his heart said, "You know what, Abuna Anthony? I have an extra laptop. Give it to me. Give me yours. I'll take care of it. Take mine. Do this. All this magic mumbo jumbo." Next thing I knew, boop, turn the laptop on. It's exactly like my own somehow. I don't know how. And everything's on there that I need. Why? Because someone said, "I have a talent. Let me use it for this." Someone, when my car was broken a couple of months ago, and I have a million things to do, someone said, "Here, take mine. You drive mine around for a couple of days, I'll take yours, take it in the shop, get it fixed," all this kind of stuff. Why are we able to do so much stuff? Not because one man's doing anything, but because we have people who say, "You know what? We can do much better on our own. I'm not going to sit there and watch Abuna Anthony do everything until he drops dead from exhaustion. I'm going to give him a hand. I'm give a hand to these people." And that's the way the body of Christ works, okay? Bottom line is, you're good at something that I'm not good at. And I'm good at something that you're not good at. That's the way God made us. So instead of each one doing their own thing, let's put our heads together, let's see how we can make this work, and I cover your weaknesses, and you cover mine. You're good at fixing cars, you fix my cars. You're good at administrative work, you do the administrative work and all the papers and this stuff that I'm not good at doing. Every one of us has a skill, and when we work together, we get much more done. A good leader is only as good as his teammates. Okay? A good leader is only as good as his teammates. And I always joke with you guys about sports and how I love sports and how I don't watch the news or anything like that. Since the day I could read, I only read the sports page. And I've, to this day, I've never read the front page or Metro or Business, any of that kind of stuff. I only read the sports page. That's all I read. And I joke about sports, but really sports teaches this lesson in a wonderful way. You can find some very egocentric people. You can find some very egotistical people, some very selfish people, some very annoying, obnoxious people. But then all of a sudden, you put them on a team together, and they come to the realization that if I don't play with you, and you don't play with me, and we don't work together, we're never going to reach our goal. And that's what sports is all about. Forget our off-the-court stuff. But you get five annoying people, and the best example is someone like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. Even though they didn't make it last year, they won three championships. Even though they hate each other's guts. Why? Because they were able to work together as a team and cover each other's weaknesses. Now, I'm not endorsing the Lakers by any means, okay? Those of you know me know I'm not a Lakers fan. But that's what sports teaches. That you can have selfish people who, for the sake of a goal, put aside their own egos and work together. And there's no place that you can get better in sports. Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. Michael Jordan didn't win any championships when he was scoring like 50 points a game. He won the championships when he started having teammates around him who could support him. Because everyone knows that you can't win an NBA championship by yourself. He needs at least two good players. That's what they say. Okay? Same thing in the spiritual life. You're not going to win any spiritual championships by yourself. This church ain't going to be the church of the year if it's just a one-man show. What it needs is the whole people to work together. The best example of teamwork, other than sports, someone told me, okay, this I find fascinating, but he told me this is 100% true. At West Point, okay, military is very good at teamwork. Everyone has a role. At West Point Academy, somehow, I don't know how, but they manage at mealtime, they feed 4,000 people. 4,000 people are fed at mealtime in exactly 15 minutes. In and out. 4,000 people. Three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't know how that happens. But what that teaches me is, that's teamwork. The only way that's possible, okay, is that you have a team of people, and everyone knows their role, and everyone does it, and they know the other person is going to do the same thing, okay? That's what we're talking about here. That's why they're able to get more done. So, community, write this down, is God's answer to fatigue, okay? Community is God's answer to fatigue. Instead of doing everything by yourself, when we do things together in community, we're not tired, we're not burnt out, we're not stressed out. I said this to you last week. A snowflake in and of itself is very small and very frail. But you put a bunch of snowflakes together, what can they do? They can stop traffic. Okay? Same thing with us here in the body of Christ. I can't do that much by myself. But if you put my skills, and your skills, and your skills, and your skills, and your skills, and you get rid of all the ego, and you put us together, man, we can stop some traffic around here. We can shake this place up. And that's what community is meant to do. Okay? So, let's get past this one-man show idea. What some people call the Mother Teresa myth. The Mother Teresa myth is that one person goes out and changes the world by serving and the poor and all this kind of stuff, and she changed the world. Ask Mother Teresa. She didn't change the world by herself. She had an army of sisters with her. And she'd be the first one to say that, and the perfect example is after she left. Are they still changing the world? Absolutely. It wasn't dependent on one person, okay? So we get rid of this Mother Teresa myth, okay? The group is always greater impact than the individual. So others, I need them to walk with me. I need them to work with me. And number three, I need others to watch out for me. To watch out for me. I need people to defend me. I need people to protect me. I need for people to watch my blind spot. I need people to guide me and tell me when I'm about to enter into a bad situation. Help me stay on track. Look at Philippians 2 verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Like I said in the beginning, that statement is countercultural to what we're taught in America. In America, the idea is you're looking out for number one. Right? You watch your own back and you make sure you're taken care of. No one's going to watch out for you. Don't watch out for no one else. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. That we should be watching out for one another and we should have other people watching out for us. Because it's a wiser thing in the long run. You ever drive in a neighborhood? Maybe you've been in a neighborhood. When I was growing up, our neighborhood had a neighborhood watch. Maybe you ever had one of these things. You walk in, you drive in a neighborhood and you see the neighborhood watch sign. What does that mean to you? What that means to me is that we look out for each other. Okay, and if I'm on duty and you're messing with his house, I'm gonna come say something. Okay, I'm not just watching off my own house, but I'm watching other people's houses and other people's watching my house. That's the way it should be as well here in the body of Christ. You go away on vacation. If you're like me, you ask your neighbor, hey, you know, watch out if there's any packages on my doorstep, or, you know, you see any funny people going to my house, you know, call the cops, something like that. Watch out for my stuff. And you tell people, watch out for your dog, watch out for your fish, or watch out for your lawn, whatever. Well, I'm asking you a question. Who's watching out for your soul? Who's watching out for your eternity? If the answer is no one, you're in trouble. If you got people watching out for your lawn, you got people watching out for your dog, who's watching out for your soul? Who do you go to and say, hey, watch me, make sure my soul doesn't get lost. Make sure no one attacks my soul when I'm not paying attention. All of us have blind spots and we need other people to help us. Stuff that we can't see. And I remember a funny example that actually happened a couple months ago. There's a very nice lady in this church who makes these for me. These black galabeas. Okay? Because I go to Egypt and I ask for a light one and they give you one that's like thick wool, because everyone in Egypt gets cold when it's like 75 degrees. It's cold to them somehow. So you can't get a light one of these in Egypt. It's impossible. So there's a very nice lady who offered, again, her talents. You know, instead of me shopping and all this kind of stuff and trying to sew it myself or anything funny like that, she offered, you know what, let me make some for you. So she made some for me. All right? And she says, try it on, and then you know, let me know if it needs adjustment. Of course, I don't try. Oh, yeah, sure, it's perfect, no problem. I just take it, put it in the closet. And it came time for me to put one of these on. And what happened is that it was a little high in the back, okay? A little low up front, high in the back. And somehow, I guess that's because priests usually have, like, big bellies and stuff, so it kind of evens out in the long run, makes the front go up higher. But thanks be to God, I'm still keeping thin, so I didn't have this problem. So, it was, like I said, it was low in the front and kind of high in the back. Now, like I said, I didn't try it on like she told me to. I told her I tried it on, perfect, all that kind of stuff. So I just put it on one Sunday morning, and I walked out the house. So I'm walking around all day, and you can imagine, it's going a little high. You can see my legs, see my socks, see the Nike socks, all that kind of stuff. So everyone's looking at me and laughing, all this kind of stuff. And like 100 people came to me afterwards and says, you know your galabeas is a little high in the back. I said, really? No way. Really? I didn't know. Okay? But thanks be to God, someone came and told me. We all have stuff like that. And I thank all those 100 people who came and told me. I'd rather they come and tell me than me walk around like an idiot with the high galabeas in the back and showing too much leg or something. But what I'm saying is that we need to help each other out with our blind spots. Sometimes I got food in my teeth. Sometimes I got food in my beard. Sometimes I got a boogie hanging in my nose. I don't know, but I need you to help me out. If I ever have a boogie hanging from my nose, I expect these 100 people here all say, Buna Anthony, you got a boogie hanging from your nose. Why not? We're there to help each other. Okay? So, the family of God looks out for each other, and we watch each other's blind spots, we watch each other's back. Alright? Anyone here in the military? Military? Okay, do you know what sentry duty is? Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y.
Right.
Sentry, okay? I didn't know what it was, but I discovered this. That sentry duty is when, okay, when they're, you know, like on the front line, all that kind of stuff, obviously it's dangerous areas. So there's something called sentry duty, which is everyone sleeps, but one guy has to stay awake, and they take turns, okay? And when you're on the battlefront, when you're on the front lines, everyone has to serve in sentry duty, okay? They just rotate. So we all sleep, but one night you don't sleep, and the next night you don't sleep, and the next night you don't sleep, all right? Or whatever. We need to have that here in the body of Christ as well, okay? We're watching out for each other, and we're looking out for the guys, because maybe, you know what, these guys are sleeping, they're not paying attention, but the other guys in their small group, you know, saw something that's not safe right here. And we're so worried. Okay, you look in this country today and you see like this whole terrorism thing and the 9/11, and we're vigilant against terrorism and the enemy and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got news for you. If you're so scared about terrorists and anthrax and snipers and all that kind of stuff, there's a much greater enemy who's out there. And there's a much more dangerous one. And he's called the devil. And if you don't think he's real, you're fooled. Okay? Because he is real, and he's much, much, much more dangerous than any sniper, any terrorist can possibly be. Every morning, he, as soon as you wake up, he's there, and he's ready to attack you, and he's ready to knock you down, whether it's through lust, or whether it's through anger, or whether it's through drinking, or whether it's through whatever. He's trying to take you down and trying to destroy your life. And what I'm saying is, this is full-fledged war. This is not peacetime or anything like that. And just like the terrorists, okay, Osama bin Laden and the terrorists didn't have anything against those 10,000 people who were in the World Trade Center. They didn't like the USA. But you can't attack the USA, so what you do is you attack the US citizens, and that hurts the USA. Same thing with Satan. He has beef against God, and he wants to hurt God, but you can't hurt God. So if I can't hurt God, what am I do? Hurt God's kids. Okay? And that's what he tries to do with us. And every single one of you, if you don't have someone watching your back, if you're not in a small group, if you're not in a situation where someone can watch out for you, I got news for you. You got a big old bullseye in the forehead and right on your back, and the devil's aiming right for it. And if you don't got someone watching out for you, you're going to go down. Okay? Before 9/11, we didn't know how bad terrorists were. But after 9/11, we discovered how bad they were, and we took policies and all that kind of stuff to try to deter this from happening in the future. Okay? Well, now, you may not have known how bad the enemy is, but I'm telling you how bad he is right now. Now, the question is, are you going to change your policies? Are you going to change the way you live your life? Are you going to change your security procedures in order to make sure that you don't get attacked and get taken down by the devil? I hope the answer is yes. Because we need to learn how to fight together, how to watch out for each other. Look at Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You want to know why you need a small group? That's exactly why. Because there's protection in numbers. I remember another story one time. I told you guys before about Orlando Hamilton. He's an inmate in a medium security prison out in Maryland. Okay? Medium security means it's not high security, but it's... I mean, there's some crazy guys in that thing. Okay? So I go to visit him every so often. And in order to get to him, I have permission to go in the pastoral visit. So I kind of go through the campus a little bit. And I go to the building where the chaplain is, all that kind of stuff. So I often walk past like the quad or the courtyard or whatever, and they may be out there exercising or on lunch or whatever. They're very, very scary guys. And every time I walk by kind of like this, my head down, please, 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 please don't let him in. Kind of like that. I'm terrified. But there was one time that I walked by, my head up, kind of a strut like that. Why? I wasn't scared this one way. You know why? Because Orlando was on my right and his cellmate was on my left, and they're bigger than Warren Sapp. They're huge. Okay? So that day I was walking like this. That's right. I was strutting around. Because if anyone comes near me, they had to get through Orlando first, and trust me, they ain't getting through Orlando. Right? I used to play football in college. He's a big guy. So I wasn't scared that day. Same thing spiritually. If I'm walking out there on my own, I'm in the dark, there's enemies around, there's lions, there's tigers, there's all kinds of stuff out there trying to knock you down spiritually. We need spiritual support. I need my small group, one flanked on my right, one flanked on my left, and we walk down together through life. I watch your back, you watch my back. Okay? Lifeguards know that the best swimmer in the world have to be a fool to go swimming in the middle of the ocean by himself. Alright? You always go in twos, buddy system. Alright? Same thing spiritually. Why? Because community, write this down, is God's answer to defeat. Community is God's answer to defeat. Without community, you will be defeated. You will get knocked down. You'll drown in that ocean. But community is the solution for that. Okay? And that's what small group is. Another passage there from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. Again, two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Same thing. Woe to that sucker who is swimming in the ocean by himself, because when he starts drowning, there's no one to help him. Woe to the man who's caught in the middle of the night without a cell phone or without someone next to him to call when he gets attacked. Same thing spiritually. So I need others to walk with me, others to work with me, others to watch out for me. Number four, others to wait and weep with me. Wait and weep. Meaning, I need people who are there for me when the crisis of life hits. Now, it'd be nice if there was never a crisis in life, never a disaster, never cancer, never death, but that's not realistic. Okay? It is inevitable in life that you will face a crisis. You may be in a crisis right now. If you're not in one right now, it's just a matter of time before you're in one, because crisis is inevitable. It's inevitable that a disaster happens. Trust me, I see this more often than I like as a priest about the bad situations happening in life. And all I'm going to say is this, that I firmly believe that there are many situations in life which you should not have to go through alone, which God does not want you to go through alone, and is very bad for you to go through alone. For example, you should never have to sit in a hospital waiting for a diagnosis alone. You should never, if you're a pregnant woman and you're having complications with your pregnancy, be waiting for the test results from the doctor alone. You should never have to go to identify a body alone. You should never go to the graveyard alone. You should never be waiting for news from the battlefield alone. These things God didn't mean for us to do alone. And they can be disastrous if they are. And I could go on and on and on and on about situations that people go through alone, and it's horrible. What I'm saying is, I really hope that none of these situations ever happen to you. But it is inevitable in life that a disaster is going to come, that a disaster is going to happen, that something bad is going to happen to you. What I'm saying is, be prepared from now. Build yourself the support network now, that when the crisis hits, that when that tornado hits, that when that diagnosis comes back, that you're not by yourself, that you have a support network, that you have a close, intimate friend or group of friends that'll be there. Now is the time to prepare, not then. Okay? Now is the time to prepare. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. God knows that you need that support network. So look what he says. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Okay? He says that we should love each other as brothers. But is he talking about the church now as a whole? Like, our church has like 1,000 members. Okay? Are we all going to be like brothers? Is that practical? No, it's never going to be practical. If you go to the hospital, do you want 1,000 people to come visit you in the hospital room? If you get sick or something, do you want 1,000 people to come with you to the grave to mourn? No, you don't want that. What you want is a group of intimate friends. What kind of group? A big group? A small group. Look, another plug for small groups. You want a small group who's there with you, who knows you deeply and intimately, and you support them and they support you and you're there for one another. That's what you need. You don't need the church. You don't need to stand up on the church and say, this person, you know, needs support, and 1,000 people run to them. That's not going to do you any good. Believe me. Marianne's going to have a baby soon. I don't want 1,000 people in the hospital room with us. Okay? You can all congratulate us on Sunday, but not 1,000 of you at the same time. All right? So, and it's just like I said earlier, that if we are not there for one another, then we can't expect others to be there for us. So like I said, now is the time to plan it in. Factor into your mind or whatever that crisis is going to come inevitably. It's going to come. You can't stop it from happening. Who's your support network when it happens? All right? So that's where community comes in. Community is God's answer to despair. Community is God's answer to despair. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Okay? God built that community in. That's God's plan, so that you have someone to wait and weep with you. Alright? Now the final reason that we need each other is I need others to witness with me. Others to witness with me. We've already said this before. We know that each one of us in life has a mission in life. And each one of us has a story to share. And if I don't share my story, then it'll never get shared. And if you don't share your story, it'll never get shared. All of us have a job to do, to take what we've been given and spread it to all the ends of the earth. Now, when we talk about mission, it's a scary topic. Okay? I don't like the idea of talking to people. I don't like the idea of going to the ends of the earth and what does that mean and all this kind of stuff. So that's where community helps out. Okay? There is a great power in a group mission as opposed to an individual mission. Okay? Again, don't get in your head. St. Paul went all over the world by himself. If you look, everywhere he went, he had disciples. He had a team. Okay? He had people to support him. He had people to witness with him, so it wasn't a one-man show. Same thing with us. Okay? You tell me, which is more powerful? One person standing up and saying, and standing in the middle of George Mason University and saying, Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. Or 1,000 people standing up, one voice saying, Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. Which is more powerful? Which has more better effect? Okay? The group witness is always going to be better than the individual witness. And not just that, but there are ways your best way of witnessing is going to be in groups. I'll tell you a better way. Forget about preaching. Let's not talk about preaching. Usually we think about mission, we think about preaching, and I'm not preaching, I don't like to preach. Forget about preaching. I'm going to tell you how you can do the best preaching without ever even opening your mouth. But you can't do it by yourself. Do you know what it is? What is the best tool for mission? What is the best tool for evangelism? If someone sees this, they'll say, oh, I got to become a Christian.
Actions.
Actions. What kind of actions?
Love.
Love between who?
Between each other.
Love among Christians. Look at John 13:35. Christ said, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You want this church to have standing room only. You want line of people trying to get their way in this church? You do one thing. You love each other. Okay? And when people see the love that Christians have for one another, believe me, they'll be beating down the doors to get in this place. That is the greatest witness and greatest testimony that you can do. It's not preach, it's not sing, it's not do anything, just love one another. That's what the early church was. Okay? They loved one another, and everyone looked and said, you know what? Those four people, they love each other. I want to join that group. Hey, what's your secret? Can I be part of you? Okay? That's our greatest tool for mission and evangelism. Alright? What is going to show the world that we are Christian is not a big fancy building and a gymnasium. Not a cross around my neck doesn't show my Christianity. Not words that I say or songs that I sing. What tells people that I'm a Christian is the love that I have for one another. And that is, in the end, is our greatest witness. And that is what we want to really focus on these 40 days. We want to start a revolution of love. Revolution of community. And we want it to be not just here in the church, but in every small group, on every college campus, every place that any member of the body of Christ goes. We want to take that love and we want to spread it to every single place that we touch. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not, insert your name here, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Alright? He has not given us a spirit of fear that we should be scared to witness or to do mission. But no, He's given us a spirit of love. And we carry that love with us. I guarantee you that's going to do effects. Okay? God does not want us to be scared to witness. God wants us to witness and reach out to people in love. So community, you can write this down, is God's answer to fear. Okay? Community is God's answer to fear. And you want to see results. You want to see mission and you want to see evangelism. You want to see people come to church? Get a group of people and invite people. Okay? A group of people inviting people has great power. I promise you this. Okay? I'll make you a little deal. We'll have a little bet here. Okay? You go out and you're a small group and you invite 5 people. Invite 5 people to come to this meeting. Invite 5 people who don't normally come to this meeting. And I guarantee you one of them will come. And if one of them doesn't come, then I'll get you a Happy Meal on me or something like that. Okay? I'll give you 3 McDonald's. McDollars that I have in my office. Okay? 3 McDollars if you invite 5 people and one of them doesn't show up. I guarantee you. Okay? You know, McDollars are very valuable to me, so I wouldn't be betting them unless I was very confident. Okay? Invite 5 people, I guarantee you one will come. Why? Because the bottom line is, everyone needs people. It's not just us. People in the world need people. We need others to walk with us. We need others to work with us. We need others to watch out for us. We need others to wait and weep. And we need others to witness. Okay? Today is the day that we start the revolution. And the Revolutionary War started with the Declaration of Independence. Well, today, the 40-day revolution starts with the Declaration of Interdependence. Okay? And every one of us is making that declaration that I need others. I cannot get through life on my own. I need to be part of a church, actively involved, and I need to be part of a small group. And what I invite every one of you to do, if you haven't signed up for a small group yet, you stop by that cute little table on the way out, you sign your little name, and you put your phone number and your email, all that kind of stuff, and you'll be in a small group. This is your last chance, okay? They get kicked off next week, and joining in the middle is just going to be funny. So make sure you're part of a small group. Deal? Any questions? Okay. Yes, Hanny.
Yesterday I had my class reunion.
Okay. Okay. Can you stand up and speak up a little bit? I'm sorry. I heard I was a nerd in high school. That's what I heard.
Nice.
When I went to a reunion yesterday, it was the same. All the nerds sat on the same table. and all the poor people sent out this petition.
Okay.
And,
what's the name again?
Nothing's changed, but the
what's the name?
Okay. Okay.
So, what I'm saying is, are we going to try to...
reach out to the nerds? No, I'm sorry. Your question is, I'm sorry. What is it?
I mean, are we going to try to bring in different groups?
Into the church?
Into the small groups.
They're not the same people.
Is your question is, are we going to mix up small groups?
Mm-hmm. From different types of
you can request whatever you want. Okay, the way small groups work is it's not like a mandate from God that this is your group and you're assigned for life. The way we do it is you can write down, you get a little card and you say, I'd like to be in a group with Mike and Ruby because I think they're very funny. So I'd like to be in a group with them. And that can work. But or you may not know anyone. You may not want to be with anyone, so you just sign your name. And what you'll do is you'll get a call saying, you know, this is your group. But of course you have the, if you say no, thank you, or it doesn't meet the right time or whatever, you can choose another one or anything like that. So it's not like mandated by God or anything like that. So it's completely flexible. Okay? Nerds, jocks, all are welcome. Okay, any other questions? Okay, let's stand for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, for gathering us all here today. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you have revealed to us and showed to us that each one of us, dear Lord, is truly in need of others. And none of us is an island on our own, and we can't do anything by ourselves. We thank you that you revealed it to us now, before it's too late, before we've gotten so set in our ways and so selfish and so egotistical that we can no longer fit in a community. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, from the depth of my heart, that each one of us would learn the meaning of true community during these 40 days. That we would find true love and real Christian love in all of our relationships, and this building, and this church, and this family, and everywhere that we go, dear Lord, be overflowing with your love, a real love which is sacrificial. Give us, dear Lord, that love and fill us with it so that it would be everywhere that we go. I pray, dear Lord, for a special blessing for our gathering here, for our church, for our Father, Wound of Shoy, to Sonia Rini, all those who ask from them in our prayers, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercessions of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, through the prayers of St. Mark and all your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Please have a seat for 2 seconds. 2 seconds. I always say 2 seconds, but I'm really going to take much more time. Okay? Just a few quick announcements. Okay, first of all, the 40 Days of Community, okay, as we said, we get kicked off today. All right? Now, there's several components to the 40 Days. The first is, you did a very good job, every Sunday, we sit here and we listen to the talk together. All of us agree on that. Number two, every one of us signs up for a small group, and you can do that like I said. Now, number three is, every day, there's a daily reading. So, in the back, at the table there, the books are being sold. Pick up a book today. It costs $7 a piece. If you don't have $7, take the book now. Bring $7 next week. Okay? Not a big deal. And if you know someone who wants to participate but they're not here, take a book for them. Bring back the $7 again next week. Make sure you pick up that book today. If for any reason you want a copy in Arabic, you can go upstairs to the church bookstore and get a copy in Arabic as well. Okay? Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.